Welcome to another edition of In the Pines, a program of homegrown folk music performed and recorded in Upper Michigan and Northeastern Wisconsin. I'm Bill Hart. This week, the Hiawatha Traditional Music Festival's annual tribute to the folklore of the Upper Peninsula, which in 1984 came under the title of the Say Yeah to the UP Wolfgang.
But a friend of mine and I in Rivers was doing research on the 1937 timber workers' strike. And we were driving all along through Edward Wakefield, Belcher, and all those places, looking for people who had been involved in that strike. And we went into Marinette's house, looking for a guy who'd been an organizer, and he wasn't home. But while we were there, we were talking to some folks, and they said that the mill in Marinette was closing that Friday, and that was it. And the industry in the town gone out. And, you folks gotta know what that's about. So this song came to mind. And I'll see if I can play it. I haven't played it in a long time.
I got a story on it.
Okay. You know, I don't know, he decided there to visit a friend of his up in Duluth, and he'd go out there on a vacation, and while he's there, he's in the bar, and he meets a Finlander. And the Finlander, knowing about how Aino loves riddles and jokes, he says, "Aino, I have a riddle for you." He says, "This is a good one. If I win, you got to buy me a beer, and if you win, I got to buy you one." Okay, said Aino. Question is, me mother and me father had a kid. It weren't me brother and it weren't me sister. Who was it? Ooh, that's a question, says Aino. I got to think on that one. Okay, you think. And he thinks, and he thinks for 5 minutes, and he's scratching his chin, and he thinks, "Oh, time's up, I know. Do you know the answer?" He says, "No, I'm afraid not. Who was it?" The Finlander says, "Why, it was you." And I know, says, "Oh, that's the good one, that is. I have to tell this one to Calvo when I get home." But when he gets home, he says, "Calvo, I heard a wonderful riddle when I was up in Duluth last week. I tell you, it's a wonderful riddle, and if I win, you got to buy me a beer, and if you win, I'll buy you one. Okay?" "Okay," Calvo says. "Okay. The question is, me mother and me father had a kid. It weren't me brother and it weren't me sister. Who was it?" "Ooh," says Calvo, "that's a tasty." "Well, I tell you what, Calvo, because you got a head like a stiff, I give you 10 minutes to think on this one." So he thinks and he thinks and he thinks. Finally, 10 minutes is up, and Calvo says, "I give up, I know. What's the answer?" And I says, "Why, it was the Finlander I met up in Duluth last week."
I don't know if it's time to start, I guess.
Thank you.
Growing up down below around Detroit, people would come up to the UP and come back with all kinds of horror stories about, you know, how they couldn't get McDonald's up here. This was long ago, you know. And oh, just and frightening things like recognizable cultures, you know. Yeah. We don't have that down below, it comes on the TV, but so I thought these people deserved people time. So this is a tale of tragedy of Lower Peninsula folks traveling in the UK. And all you Christian people who travel in the north, who load your inner burdens and barely sally forth, who left the hills of blinking in the moment of doom, and cross the throat of nothing all of the old cat played of doom. And when we reached Stranger's Nest, the night was dark and dark. We pulled into a corral and began our holding tank. We danced up into a refuge upon the barren ground. The gurgling in the frosty night was such a mournful sound. Next day we laid the mini bikes back on the family van. And broke the seashell city to view the giant sand. Then on we drove to empty shops and hunger grain week. We sought the golden arches and McMuffin dead trees. That all about was wilderness and dirty pasty stores. Where shifty friends and cousin rats be smart and bash and flown. We cursed that northern wonderland and all its cruel deception. Oh, no matter what the channel, we got bad TV reception. The north we turned, drained the dam and left the lake behind. We forgot to check the gas gauge, so troubled were our minds. And on we sped through cedar canyon, that lonely land of woods, till the tank ran dry of gasoline and the car ran not so good. And how the children whimpered as dreary night drew on, forsaken by the roadside with all provisions gone. As cruel starvation really tried to commence most desperately, to barbecue the poodles, poor people and people. At length we all were rescued back to Bloomfield we have gone. And our yards of asphalt country where the devil came. And no more there ending of the northern lake and fall. And then next I seek adventure at the Disney World.
I'm going to tell you a story. I was thinking about what stories might be appropriate for YouTube workshop. And I'll tell you one that actually was collected right here in the UP in the early 50s. It was collected up around Houghton by the late Richard Dawson of Indiana University. And it's one of the only three versions of what we know in the folk world as the blacksmith and the devil that have been ever collected in the U.S. Anyway, this is a story which is going to tell you why the devil doesn't live in the UP anymore. Now, you know, he used to live in the UP at one time. As a matter of fact, it used to be said that the UP was his home away from home, as it were. And he might still be here, causing mischief and all kinds of mayhem. But if not been for a rascally rogue of a fellow, a blacksmith, as a matter of fact, I'd say, he lived up in Houghton, whose name was Ornery John. Now, they called him Ornery John because he was so mean, he was so cussed and wicked, that rumor had it the devil used to write him fan letters at least once a month. Orley John, see, I'm getting my face and confused here. Orley John had one characteristic that was very peculiar. He was always kind of stranger. It didn't make any difference who the fellow was. He could be the worst out of work hobo in camp. Orley John would give him the clothes off his back and put money in his pocket, would feed him, let him serve for 3 or 4 days. And people just shut their tongues and said, well, I suppose there must be some good in the worst of people. Well, one night, Orley John, he was sitting on his porch, drinking rocks of Parson Farmers and drawing mustaches and the pretty girl pictures. All of a sudden, here comes an old man. And this fellow looked like he was literally on his last legs, and he kind of stepped up onto the porch and he said, you think you might give me a place to stay for the night? And Orley John says, well, come on in, let's see what we can do for you. And make our long story a little shorter, he brought that fellow into the house and he fed him and put him to bed. And the next morning, the old man wanted to pay him. Orley John says, no, I don't want no money for it. I don't even know who you are. The old man says, well, Orley John, I'm really not what you think I am. I'm really St. Peter, and once a year I come down to Earth to see if I can find folks to be a kind that still wander in hermit. And hard as it is, you, the wickedest man in the world, have done me a favor, so I'm going to grant you one wish. Orley John says, one wish, did you say? St. Peter says, Orley John says, all right, I'll tell you what. You see that shop over there in the corner? Well, that's a favorite old shop that my granddaddy handed down to me. But you know what happens when I got my back turned, everybody comes in and they want to stick their hands and they think I got gold and silver and all kinds of precious jewels. So I want you to give me the power that every time I say, who put his back into the shop, whoever touches it, I just pop in there and stay there as long as I tell him to until I let him go. And St. Peter, he just shook his head and he said, well, that's the game most foolish wish I've ever heard. And Orley John says, well, you got a grant to me. And St. Peter says, I suppose I do. And he left. Now, we don't know what would have happened, except at that particular point, word got to the old devil himself about the doings of Orley John. As a matter of fact, what really brought it on was Orley John one night in the bar boasted that he wasn't even meaner than the devil himself. Well, of course, the devil couldn't have this. A rival for the allegiance of the folks up in the UP. He had to go and teach this Orley John a lesson. So one day, Orley John is sitting on his porch. And all of a sudden, who should he hear pumping up the road but a pair of big old feet? And he looks up, and there is the devil himself. Orley John knew it was the devil. And the devil says, Orley John, I've come to take you to hell with me. It's time you belong with us. And Orley John says, but I ain't willing to go yet. I still got a lot of orderliness to pilfer out to the world. And he says, well, now, I'll tell you what. I'm tired of hearing, I am getting, I am getting, I am getting,